Good morning. Well, we're going to start out this morning, and I'd like to look first at a beautiful psalm, Psalm 62, if you'll turn your Bibles to Psalms. And we're continuing our theme on prayer. I've titled this teaching, Prayer, Our Continual Conversation, Part 2. And the reason I titled it Part 2 is because I had the opportunity to share at Fellowship on Thursday of this week at our Home Family Fellowship. And so I shared on our continual conversation. So that was Part 1. So those of you that were there, I'll try not to be too redundant. But in any case, you know, when we think about prayer, you know, certainly there are those specific situations where we have a need, and we certainly bring those specific needs to God in prayer. We reach up to Him, and He is there to answer those prayers without question. But prayer is more than just, you know, reaching out to God or up to God with those specific needs in our lives, but it's also a time to worship God, to give God praise and thankfulness, to acknowledge God and recognize God for His goodness and for His love and for His care. And that's really more about the continual conversation that we have with God. It's really not just a one-time-a-day type thing, but it's the conversation we have with Him throughout the day as we're living our lives. And also, you know, there are times in our lives where we have a specific need where it's not just enough to sit down and go to God one time during the day, but we may need to be constantly going to God and having this conversation with Him about a specific need in our lives. So it's more about that continual relationship that we have with Him, that relationship of prayer, of reliance upon Him, of trusting Him, of loving Him, and walking in His presence and His goodness as His kids, and letting Him put His arms around us on a continual basis. In Psalm 62, verse 5, it says, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved." In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Now, we know that God has given us His word so that we can know specifically who He is, what His nature is, and what His will is for our lives. And I don't think that, and God has an abundance of verses that deal with His desire for us to trust and rely upon Him. And this is certainly an absolutely beautiful one, that we wait. We wait thou only upon Him. That our expectation is from Him. Now, so God is telling us, look, kids, I want your expectation to be from me. Turn your hearts to me. Trust only in me. Rely only in me. I am your refuge. And isn't that just so beautiful? And if you'll turn over to Psalm 37, which is not too far away. Psalm 37, verse 3 says, "Trust in the Lord." So trust means to rely upon, to have our total reliance upon Him. "Trust in the Lord and do good. so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. See, we are to delight ourselves in him. And in Psalm 62 that we read earlier, it said that we are to pour our hearts out before him. God wants to be a part of every detail of our lives. And it's this, although this is so beautiful, and it's really wonderful when we consider that man was never meant to live on his own. He was never meant to live by himself alone without God. Man was designed to live with the Creator. So anytime we live outside of that relationship with the Creator, we're not really able to function. We're not really able to live the way God intended our lives to be lived. It was never intended to be lived outside or away from him, but with him, intimately with him in that relationship. Let me read this one verse to you if you don't mind. I know you all have heard it before. It's Jeremiah 17:7. It says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is." Blessed, happy, fulfilled. "For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall be careful, and not be careful or anxious in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." So when everyone around us has anxiety and is walking outside of that relationship with God, God says, look, we're going to spread out our roots. We're not going to even see when that heat cometh, because we're going to continue to grow and prosper and flourish. I was sharing on Thursday night at our fellowship, and I want to just share with you briefly now. There's this wonderful interview. I know most of you are all familiar with George Mueller. Who is not familiar with George Mueller? George Mueller received a wonderful calling from God and founded some very, very tremendous orphanages in Bristol, England, basically at a very young age. As a young man, he founded these orphanages and helped literally thousands of orphans, fed them, clothed them, and got nurtured them and got them on their way, and depended completely 100% on God to do it. And there was a gentleman named Charles Parsons who, when George Mueller was 91 years old, Charles Parsons traveled to Bristol and had an interview with George Mueller. And if you'd like a copy of it, I have a copy of the entire article. Just hand me your email address, and I'll be happy to send you a copy. I have it in a PDF format. But in this article, I'm going to just read something briefly to you about it. And the interviewer, who was Charles Parsons, asked George Mueller, "You have always found the Lord faithful to his promise, Mr. Mueller?" And Mr. Mueller replied, "Always. He has never failed me. For nearly 70 years, every need in connection with this work has been supplied. The orphans from the first until now have numbered 9,500, but they have never wanted a meal. Hundreds of times we have commenced the day without a penny, but our Heavenly Father has sent the supplies the moment they were actually required. There never was a time when we had no wholesome meal. During all these years, I have been enabled to trust in the living God alone. In answer to prayer, $7.5 million have been sent to me. We have needed as much as $200,000 in 1 year, and it has all come when needed. No man can ever say I asked him for a penny. We have no committees, no collectors, no voting, and no endowment. All has come in answer to believing prayer." God has many ways of moving the hearts of men all over the world to help us. While I am praying, he speaks to one and another on this continent and on that to send us help. And then the interviewer asked him, I have read your life, Mr. Mueller, and noted how greatly your faith has been tried at times. Is it so now? And Mr. Mueller answered, my faith is tried as much as ever, and my difficulties are greater than ever. I call on my beloved helpers and say to them, pray, brethren, pray. In one instance, immediately $500 was sent us, then $1,000, and in a few days, $7,500 came in. But always we have to be praying, always believing. Oh, it is good to trust in the living God, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Expect great things from God, and great things you will have. There is no limit to what he is able to do. Praises forever to his glorious name. Praise him for everything. I have praised him many times when he sent me 10 cents, and I have praised him when he has sent me $6,000. So isn't that just so beautiful in George Mueller's relationship with God? Never once asking a single man for a donation, how he relied completely and solely on God to meet his needs. And it was that trust relationship that he had with the Father. His expectation was from him. And he was never alone. God was always on his side. And we are never alone. We may have a challenging situation, maybe even one that's been ongoing for a period of time, but we are never alone. God is always on our side. We are always triumphant through the finished work of Christ, and we continue to trust in him, to look to him, to have that continual conversation with him, that wonderful intimate fellowship and partnership with him. And we are never alone. And I've asked Rachel if she would sing that beautiful song for us. It's called Not Alone. I don't know. It's a fairly new song. So, Rachel?
Yeah.
Thank you, Rachel. Turn to Psalm 5, if you would. Hopefully you're still in that area. Does anybody have a challenge in their life that they're dealing with right now? If you don't have a challenge in your life or a concern, raise your hand, because I want to talk to you. I want to know what you're doing. In Psalm 5, verse 11, it says, "But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield." God has his arms around us continually. And isn't it just a wonderful, comfortable, safe feeling when you're walking and somebody has their arms around you and they're holding you and you're walking along your way? And that's how God is. He has his arms around us continually. And we are never alone. Well, there are a number of things that can prevent us from receiving the things that we need in our lives when there are specific needs that we might have. I can actually put together a fairly long list of things that could prevent me from receiving what I need. But God has given us clear direction on how to receive what we need from him. And there's really just three things I'd like to just talk about this morning briefly that we can look at that will help us, I think, encourage us to really continue to grow in this relationship with God and be comforted that we are not alone and that he will absolutely bring our needs and deliver us from whatever situations we're dealing with in our lives, whether they're something immediate or something temporary or something long-term that we are dealing with. You are not alone. And so the first one is rather complicated, why we don't receive our answers from prayer. This is a pretty big question, isn't it? So the first one's kind of complicated, so I'm going to try to break it down and make it as simple for you as I can. The reason is we don't ask. Right? We just don't ask. That would be one reason that we wouldn't really receive an answer in prayer, is that we don't ask. So let's look at Matthew 7, verse 7, just on this subject of that we don't ask God. And there are a number of reasons that maybe we wouldn't ask. Maybe we get too busy, or maybe we think, well, this is a need that, you know, well, maybe I can still handle this on my own. Or we think, well, maybe this one's a need, but it's not so bad, so I can kind of bear it. And, you know, so I won't ask on this one. Or maybe God's too busy. So there are a number of reasons, but let's just look at this in Matthew 7, verse 7. It says, ask. Now, does God need to make it any clearer than that? Look, kids, ask. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, he will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? See, that's his heart. He wants to give us all those good things because he's a good God. In Psalm 5, we read that his favor compasses us about. It's his grace, his goodness. Not that we earned it, not that we deserve it, but because it's his nature to give it, right? Another verse that you're all familiar with, I'll just read to you, is in Corinthians. It says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. In other words, God will never allow you to be tempted or to be in a situation where you cannot receive his deliverance and escape the problem. That's a promise from God. That's a pretty enormous one. So that means that as we ask, as we go to him faithfully and ask, and we have that continual conversation with him and depend on him, that he absolutely will perform. What's another reason maybe that we don't receive the answers to prayer that we might have? Well, how about condemnation? Let's look at 1 John chapter 3. Maybe we just, and this shouldn't surprise you in a way that you might have condemnation in your life, because... And by the way, do you all know what the definition of condemnation is? It means to call oneself unfit for use. That's what condemnation means. It means to call oneself unfit for use. So if you measure yourself in your own abilities, okay, then you might find you're coming up short, right? You know, you might say, boy, I'm unfit for this. Or maybe... one of the things that prevents you from getting your answer is that you think that God is looking at you in your unfit state, okay? Well, the reality of it is that God has made us worthy through Christ Jesus. And in 1 John 3:20 it says, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. See, God knows all about us. You may think that maybe he doesn't, but he knows all about us. And he still loves us. And then it says, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And see, if we're not holding things against ourselves, then we have confidence towards God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Maybe we don't think we're worthy of God's goodness or God's deliverance. And you know what? We have to really get over this. Because you know what? That sense of unworthiness is not going to go away unless you tell it to go away. And I'm going to show you this from the Word. Romans chapter 6, verse 11. The reason that you're going to have to tell this sense of unworthiness to go away is because it's in the old man nature. It's in the nature. Guilt, sin, condemnation, it's all in that old man nature. In Romans 6:11, it says, "Likewise, reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin." It's talking about sin nature. "But alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." It's that sin nature that is where that sense of lack of worthiness comes from. Or a sense of guilt. Or maybe you feel like you haven't been reliable in following through on what God has asked you to do from His Word. It could be a variety of things. But it's in that sin nature. Paul said, and you don't have to turn there, but you'll remember that Paul said in Romans 7, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Who shall deliver me from this body of sin nature, this sin consciousness?" See, it's the secret thoughts, the thoughts of the private sins or lack of performance in our backgrounds that really cause that sin consciousness, that cause condemnation, and we have to reckon those dead. That is not who we are. And we have to walk in the newness of life in what Christ has made us in the new man. That's who we are. He has made us righteous through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And if we had to do something to get good enough for God to answer our prayers, I'll tell you, we might as well quit and go home now, because it ain't going to happen. I mean, you may be good, but you're not that good. All right? So, okay, the last thing. And these are just a few things that were on my heart to talk about, but I think one of the largest things that affects us at time is that we get discouraged. You know, we just get discouraged. We're human. We get discouraged. We maybe don't see the results, or things flare up or whatever. And so I want to read just from this article one more time. The interviewer asked George Mueller, he said, "I asked him if he spent much time on his knees." Excuse me. And George Mueller answered, "Hours every day, but I live in the spirit of prayer. I pray as I walk, when I lie down, and when I rise, and the answers are always coming. Tens of thousands of times my prayers have been answered. When once I am persuaded a thing is right, I go on praying for it until it comes. I never give up." And in answer to my prayers, thousands of souls have been saved, he went on. "I shall meet tens of thousands of them in heaven." There was another pause. I made no remark, and he continued, "The great point is never to give up until the answer comes." And the interviewer asked him, "I suppose through all these long years in your work for God, you have met with much to discourage you," I said. He answered, "I have met with many discouragements, but at all times my confidence has been in God," was the reply. "On the word of Jehovah's promise, my soul rested. Oh, it is good to trust in Him. His word never returns void. He give power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increases strength." And the interviewer asked, "May I venture to ask you to give me a word of special counsel in regard to my own work for God," I asked, "that I may pass it on to other Christian toilers in their great harvest fields of souls?" He answered, "Seek to depend entirely on God for everything," he answered. "Put yourself and your work into His hands. When thinking of any new undertaking, ask, is this agreeable to the mind of God? Is it for His glory? If it is not for His glory, it is not for your good, and you must have nothing to do with it. Mind that. Having settled that a certain course is for the glory of God, begin in it in His name and continue in it to the end. Undertake it in prayer and faith, and never give up. And do not regard iniquity in your heart. Trust in God. Depend only on Him. Wait on Him. Believe on Him, and expect great things. Faint not if the blessing tarries. And above all, rely only on the merits of the finished work of Christ. What was there to say? The interviewer said. My eyes were filled with tears and my heart was overflowing, and besides, there was the speechless awe that dared not move and all the silent heaven of love. Dr. Werwell shared with us this wonderful statement just kind of in closing here. We have faith when we look only to God and refuse to look at the circumstances. The circumstances say it is impossible, but God says it is absolutely possible. We are never alone, right? You can do the impossible things and supernatural things when your eyes are fixed on God and His Word. Once we decide to look only at God for the desired result, God will make sure to build us up so that we have the necessary faith or confidence in Him so that He can bring the result to pass. Isn't that great? You want me to read it again? It's fantastic. I love it. We have faith when we look only to God and refuse to look at the circumstances. The circumstances say it is impossible, but God says it is absolutely possible. You can do the impossible things and supernatural things when your eyes are fixed on God and His Word. Once we decide to look only at God for the desired result, God will make sure to build us up so that we have the necessary faith or confidence in Him so that He can bring the result to pass. You know, it's about the relationship with Him. It's about the continual conversation with Him. I'd like to close in Psalm 40, if you don't mind. Verse 3. It says, and He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear or respect God, and shall trust in the Lord. See, that's the greatness of our lives, is that as we trust in God, as we have this wonderful, loving, intimate relationship with Him that He so desires. You know, in 1 John it talks about that we would have fellowship with Him, that we would have fullness of joy. Fullness of joy, that's what this relationship is. Joy is an inside job. Now, I know you've heard that term, inside job. What does that mean? It means it's a spiritual thing that God does on our inside. It is not, true joy is not available. We're not talking about exuberance, like, you know, you just accomplished a great physical feat, you know, you... Like I just read on the radio, heard on the radio, some gentleman bowled, 300 in bowling? And it was this huge accomplishment. That's exuberance. That's not joy. Joy is something that God does on the inside. It's a result of that relationship with Him. God wants that relationship to not only be joyful, which we read in the Psalms, didn't we? But He wants it to be fullness of joy. See, we have something available to us that is so remarkable, and we're so privileged to know it. And as we live it, He puts a new song in our mouth, even praise unto Him, and many shall see it. What a greater way, the greatest way God has of getting His Word out to other people is they can see it living in your life, in our lives. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. Let all those that seek Thee rejoice and be glad in Thee. Let such as love Thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Hallelujah. The Lord be magnified, right? Because He's such a good God. And we are never alone. We walk. He has His arms around us. He has us by the hand and He will not let go. And so we can rely and trust on Him for everything. So even if it's something that just came up the other day, like I was sharing at Fellowship Thursday night, that situation I was praying about all day and then all night, and then I had to wake up and just continually just giving it to God, casting my cares to Him, letting Him take care of it, and He totally took care of it. I mean, I was going to actually prepare a chart for you and show you on the chart for this morning, but I didn't do it. On the left side, everything that had gone south on Thursday. When I mean south, all of my problems. Everything got worse and worse and worse as the day went on. So everything that was bad, and then I wanted to do a chart and show you everything that God took care of on Friday. It was fantastic. And see, that's that joy. That's that new song that He puts in our hearts. Praise to Him because He is going to take care of it for us. Isn't that the truth? So that's our continual conversation with Him. You know, it's just kind of an overcast, kind of misty day. It's just a great day to curl up in a blanket and just spend some time with your Father. And so I sure love you all. Thank you for this opportunity. And shall we close in prayer? You have announcements? Yeah. No? Okay. No, let's pray then. All right. Father, thank you for your love and goodness and for this time just to recognize you, Father, to give praise and glory to you for all that you've done and do in our lives, Father. We are not alone, God. We have you. You created us, Father, so that we could walk in this intimate relationship with you and so that you could shower us and compass us about with your favor, Father. We are so privileged, God, and we thank you for how you will work in all of the situations in our lives that we can just simply turn all of that over to you and trust in you, rely on you, Father. Literally just unload it on you, knowing that you are the burden bearer of our lives, that we can just walk free from all of those cares with great joy in our lives. And we thank you for this day and for the rest of the day and for a wonderful week ahead. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Okay, I do actually have a couple of announcements.